Can you guys hear me? Great. I am so privileged to be here this morning with you all, and I'm grateful. Thank you, Pastor. I've been coming to this church off and on for a very long time, since Mike Conway, and what a wonderful transformation that is taking place here. We always see the potential in a place, right? Just like we see a potential and the possibility in men. And just to introduce myself just briefly, I went through the program in 96, along with Johnny Ray, both at the castle, couldn't stand him. No, I'm just just saying it in truth and love. We knew each other. We were we became close, and we served together as a what we call apprentice now, back in Riverside. Orange County together. And then I went on to being a staff in Hawaii Teen Challenge for about 4 years. Along that time, I got a phone call from Johnny Ray. He said, "Hey man, my good friend, man, Christian Osoy is in trouble. Can you go see him at OCCC?" I tried. They wouldn't give me the pass to go see him, but we know that he's serving the Lord right now. So truly blessed. Like seeing Leanna, she is a product of this church, and now she's maturing into this wonderful Christian leader. And people like Aaron has poured into her. And what an incredible capacity. Oh. All right, can you hear me? Okay, was I sounding muffled? I have a way of sounding that way time to time, and you gotta excuse me. Don't know what I'm going to sound like from day to day. I had an operation a few years ago, and sometimes my upper lips cooperate, and sometimes it doesn't. And so you just never know what you're going to wake up with. But today I was telling Leanna, it's not cooperating. And she goes, it'll be okay, Tim. And so, but was a product of going through Teen Challenge and grew up in the streets of L.A., grew up in all Hispanic neighborhood. The only Asian kid in an all-Hispanic neighborhood. You know what that's like? No. I was a minority of a minority. You know, and I've heard it all. You know, I heard about the Hispanics complaining about the white man and the Jewish workers in L.A. downtown, and knowing that what I was seeing, they were no better because of how they were treating me. Even at a young age, I knew that there was not a good answer with mankind, but I knew God. My sister always prayed for me, and I had the privilege of coming into the Lord. Hearing about God from her, and she was teaching me how to quote scripture. And one day it connected. I got down on my knees in Theo Lacy jail and asked the Lord into my heart. Now I'm proud to say I own a home where once I was homeless. Amen. Amen. God is able to do that. And so how long do I have?
30 minutes.
Oh, eternity. Yes. So let's pray. Dear Father God, I just thank you for who you are, and thank you for showing up, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to push out all the distractions and everything that buys for the attention outside of this place. Holy Spirit, we know that you're here. Settle down on us and help us to draw near to you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I had about three sermons down there, and I was debating which one I was going to share. And you know, like you had some kind of stirring, and you felt like you wanted to, you know, you wanted to land a plane with an audience because you kind of knew the audience, and you wanted to, you know, make your staff proud and you know, let some of the friends that you had in the past, like, take notice. But God just telling me I should just take a step of faith, amen? So if you would journey that with me. I'm going to come out of 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 17 says, "Open the east window," he said, and opened it. "Shout," Elijah said, and he shouted. And the Lord's arrow of victory over Aram, Elijah declared, "You will completely destroy Arameans at Aphek." When he said, "Take the arrow," and the king took the arrow, Elijah told him, "Strike the ground." And he struck the ground three times and stopped. And he stopped. Struck the ground three times and he stopped. Elijah told him, "Strike the ground." And the man of God was angry. That's Elijah. He was angry with him and said, "You should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram, completely destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it only three times." Now, this is a familiar passage for a lot of pastors, and we don't preach this Old Testament anymore, but I like Old Testament. I get to take a bunch of hoodlums, like some of y'all, to Israel. We call it Jail to Israel every other year. And my wife and I, we started that. We took Leanna the last time we went, and we're going again in about 2.5 weeks. And so this place, Aram, it's on the east side of Jordan. And it's this area where the 10 nations, the biggest enemies of Israel, was gathered. And they became one federation. And they called it Decapolis. They're one of the Beth Shion. You guys ever heard of that place? It was a great city. And it was like the epic center of this region. So Aram, this land, now they were tormenting the Israel. And there's this corridor that they would go through. It's just great mountains on both sides, and there's this way that they will enter. And Beth Shion happens to be the city that is in that corridor. So you have to pass it. And a lot of things happened in that area. There's so much history. But to the text, this is Elijah's servant, Elisha. Elisha, on his deathbed, tells the king of Israel, "Now take the arrow. Take the arrow of victory and shoot it over Aram. Remember now, Aram is on the east side. So Israel, he's saying, open the window and God will be with you. And he said, draw it and shoot it, and you will have victory. Now take the second part that you didn't see," he says, he started with one arrow, but now he's talking about the arrows. And he says, "Take the arrows and strike it five or six times." But this guy only struck it three times. Where am I going with this? I want to let you know that as Christians, we're supposed to fail. I know that you say, "Oh, no, that's not the type of preaching that I'm used to hearing. God will never endorse a failure," right? "He will never back a failure. God is married to the backslider." Is that right? I mean, after 7 years of being in the ministry, I didn't hit a bump in the road. I went back out to a family business. My brother's pretty well-to-do, so I wanted to go and get me a couple of things before I, you know, gave up. You know, working in King Challenge, you know you're going somewhere nowhere fast. I mean, getting married was out of the question because you're among guys all the time. And the church people, they kind of looked at you like, oh, he's one of them. Yeah. Not like this church, but some of the churches that I've been to. And I thought, you know, I think I served enough. I think I gave back what I took from Teen Challenge, and I felt like I honored God. And now I went to the place that I didn't want to go, and I served there, and I felt like I paid my dues. You guys ever felt that way? That you had something coming? Now, I need to go after something that is owed to me. And I did. And I got to tell you, some people say they had a little bump in the road and they needed a refresher. I crashed and burned. I was back in the loony pin, in a main place jail, and you know, and I was in a ward with nothing but a, they give you a little apron because they don't want to give you any clothes. And they put you in a room that is 60 degrees. You guys ever been there? It's just like, it's not even a padded cell. It's concrete. Everything's concrete, except for the stall is made out of stainless steel. And I remember freezing and saying, I can't believe I'm in this place again. After 7 years being in the ministry, I crashed and burned. And that's when God started ministering to me again. You shouldn't have sold out for a bowl of soup, Tim. You are doing something that was meant to go on forever. You are putting people in my kingdom. You are ushering them in. What happened? What happened? You went after that valley of the dry bones again. It was about the numbers again. It was about something that you wanted again. What happened, Tim? Why'd you sell out your birthright? And I had to go to a place where I was done being mad at God, and I was broken again, and I said, Lord, I failed. I took your name and said, well, if God's for me, who could be against me? And I went after what I wanted. How many of us use the name of Jesus Christ to do what we want? Justify our behavior. How many of us? But God sees the potential. Now, potential, that word, you know, is thrown out a lot, but it's not really a good word. You know that, right? I mean, potential, let me read you the potential, the definition of. Having or showing the capacity of becoming, developing into something in the future. Doesn't mean you're there yet. And I'm telling you, there's majority of you have potential. Some of you have achieved it. But majority of you have potential. You're not there yet. I'm not there yet. And I used to think, when I used to look at people, and we get to go to a lot of churches, you know, in Orange County. So I thought, man, you know, this culture of Christians, man, I mean, what is this about? I mean, they use the name, and they're conservative, and they use all these political words, but you know, they don't have the heart for Jesus, I used to think. I mean, look at, you know, it's all about what they do, their performance. It's all about their self-image. It's all about what they have, you know? And identity is tied in with those things. It's about the perception of how other people look at us. That, and if you don't believe me, who's on Facebook all the time and want to blow things up in a nice way when you know their life is shambles? And disaster. Look at what we do. I mean, we go around taking selfies. I mean, if that's not the epitome of self-absorbed society, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying those people who constantly walk around this way. And in just a quick little sidebar. In Israel, I went to an owner of this big traveling company, and I said, hey, out of all the groups, because we were like the ones that were well-behaved. I mean, you know, guys that just came out of the penitentiary, people that want to be discipled. We're well-behaved. But you see all these Asians walking around with selfies, and I said, who are the worst people? And they said, Koreans. I'm a Korean. So I went, wow! What's up with that? I mean, why do you say Koreans are the worst? They walk around with selfie sticks, And they never look at the scene. They're always wanting to see themselves like they're some kind of movie star. And they're hitting each other over the head with it all day long. Oh my goodness. We're so self-absorbed. We are. I'm in Orange County. We're, you know, and I don't mean, I'm part of them. I mean, I care about what I look like. I care about what I drive. You know, I don't, not really, but I kind of do sometimes, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Our identity is caught up in all of that. I feel like I'm preaching a dual message, but I want to say the potential that God sees in you, we're not there yet. I know that we can never be loved more. I know that God doesn't embrace us more by our performance, and it's not about works, but it's about quitting. You know, I used to think that Orange County people didn't just care enough about being a Christ follower. It was easy for me to think that, but I was wrong. I was talking with Leanna last week, and I said, it's not true. I think majority of the Christians, we kind of don't want to find out, and we stop short. Because we might find out that we don't quite measure up. We might find out that we might not be the best. We might find out that we're kind of mediocre. And that we fail. We have this such a fear of failure. But I'm telling you, the man of God, Elisha, on his deathbed, he was telling the king of Israel, strike it 5 times. The whole point of that story is don't stop. Remember, we're supposed to, if we know what we're called to do, we're supposed to pursue it. And not be distracted on what we do and what we possess and what our area, our zip code lands on. I mean, it's all about self-image, but God wants us to be about his business. Not everybody could work in the ministry, but what you're called to in your own vocation, it is ministry. Can somebody say amen? I'm about to get preaching up in here now, man. I'm kind of loosened up. Are you guys loosened up? Huh? I'm telling you, don't stop short. You want to leave it all on the table. Hey, listen, I tell some of our guys coming into the program, hey, man, you guys can't even stand up at the choir outing, you know, for like an hour. I mean, they go, yeah, they're having a hard time. And I said, you aren't having, you know, trouble standing up in the corner slinging dough for days on end. But now when you're doing it for God, you have all kinds of issue. Huh? If you can't be faithful now at this point, you'll never be faithful out here. And don't use any excuse, because you will never be easier. It is hard, but you'll never get easier. And we're called to be faithful. It means for us to try. You know, I found out I fail pretty much at everything I do. And look at my Christianity. It's nothing but one disaster after another. And I was sharing with Leanne, I'm not afraid of that anymore. I am not afraid of that anymore. Amen. It's liberating. I am not afraid of failing. I'd rather leave it all at the table. I'd rather go all in. I'd rather do it and fail miserably than not doing it at all. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's all about the pattern. You gotta put one foot on top of another or in front of another, I should say. And you gotta go forward. Hey, you see a little stumbling block here and there. Satan has thrown you a curve. Somebody, maybe, you know, I don't mean to minimize death in the family, but the disaster does hit. I mean, my sister just got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer stage 4. And she's a nurse. And they gave her 2 to 4 months. How's that for an ulcer checkup? And I'm telling you, What choice do you have? Not try? I had a dad, pretty much a tyrant. I loved him, though, like a lot of us, right? He said some of the things that I still walk around with today, the scars that I have. But I loved him. And I remember he said, you know, I have so much love, I never got to share it with you guys on his deathbed. Ain't that a shame? Huh? He's like taking it with him. You want to take it with you? Do you want to take it with you? Then don't stop at three strike. If God says to strike it 5, 6 times, you strike it as many as 12. Because victory is yours. Victory is his. It's not yours. It's his. It's done. It's done. There is no failure in the kingdom of heaven. There's only people that will stop halfway. And I just want to tell you guys, I know that God's given you a passion for him. I sense it in this church. God's given you a passion for the lost, a burden for the lost. Don't stop, because the culture is coming against you. Don't stop. If church like this doesn't rise up and say, Lord, I am all in. It doesn't matter how short I fall. I am going to be all in. When Pastor Joel preaches, he preached this message. I'm kind of copying his on our graduation. He did, about the potential and stopping. How long it took Paul to be accepted by James, right? I mean, he preached that message here before, right? And I'm telling you, majority of the Christians stop because they're so fearful of failing that people might have the wrong clue about them or idea about them. They're so caught up in fear of perception, what other people might do. And we're all like sheep. You know what, in Orange County, you know what we do? Work hard, buy hard, and repeat. That's our identity. Work hard so you can buy more and repeat. Work hard, buy more, and repeat. And it's all about the zip code area, where you land, where you have your house. It's about what you wear. It's about what you drive. It's about either you're a Samsung guy or you're an Apple guy. What kind of phone do you carry? What do you do? What do you drive? We're caught up in it. I guarantee you, on our deathbed, none of that is going to matter. None of that is going to matter. The anguish is going to be, you know that what you are capable of, and you stopped. You started compromising. You started saying yes rather than, no, I'm going to put God first, honey. You started giving in to people and their expectation of you instead of God's expectation of you. God loves you. But I'm telling you, if I had it my way, I would have stopped. But it was by God's grace that I am back in the ministry. He loved me into the kingdom. And I know he loved you into the kingdom. It wasn't about some of the things that our parents, some of you had good parents. I had parents that would love me, but they said a couple of things that I still wear today. My whole disaster of a life, They used to say something like in their bedroom, I used to hear them, my mom and my dad, says, I don't know about Tim. Like, I had siblings, and they turned out okay. But I don't know. They did. I mean, they went to universities, and they did okay. But there's something about Tim. He's just, he doesn't really, decide on things. And he's just like, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't know the capacity or the limit. He doesn't know when to step in or to step out. When he's in something, he does way too much. And when he's not, and when he should be doing something, he doesn't do it at all. I don't know what that is. And that was damaging to a 7-year-old. And how many of us wear the scars of what was said to us? Right. And we're so caught up with what others might think of us or say about us. And it started early. We were conditioned that way. But God says, don't stop. No matter what your pain or what the process you're in, don't stop. No matter how difficult the program is, you give it all you got that day. I'm not telling you to think about a year later what the year is going to look like. Oh, you can't handle tomorrow. You can't even handle next year. But all you could do today. I remember getting hit with the news about my sister, and I remember the ministry where, like, you know, end of the year, struggling with finance, and we're like a couple hundred thousand short of coming into black, and some of my staff is like gone haywire, and I'm doing damage control, and I have a wife that is, you know, and a stepdaughter that just got the, you know, unbiblical divorce, and trying to keep up my image as a minister, and thinking, how am I going to do this? And God says, you're going to do it second by second. You're going to take that arrow of victory and you're going to strike it until I say stop. You're going to leave it all on the table. You're not going to think about what you're going to do next hour. You're not going to think about it. You're going to take that arrow of victory because I have already won the war, Tim. All you have to say yes and amen and strike it. When I tell you to strike it, you just keep striking it. Strike it. Strike it. Strike it. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. You keep striking it until the Lord comes back. That's what we're called to do. When he comes, you're going to say, I am empty, Lord. I have nothing else left. That's the way I want him to find me. That's the way I think the church needs to be standing in the gap. Amen? I want to give you an opportunity today. And I know that for some of you, you guys know what I'm talking about, but and you know, it's all about pattern. We have hopes and dreams. And some of you ladies, can I minister to you guys just a little bit? And because I have few female staff members and they come in wanting a man. They are in such a, God has saved me, I'm in his will, but now I need a godly man to be my partner. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know what it's like to be sober. You don't know what it's like to be a Christ follower by yourself. And how are you going to try to learn all that when your hormones are flying all over the place, when your endorphin and serotonin is jacked up, and you're making decisions all under the influence? Huh? You don't need it. Learn how to sit and be still for a minute. Find out who you are. Find out if you're a failure or you're a success. Find out. Don't be afraid of it because it's in the process that God loves you. And when you know you're loved, it doesn't matter if you fail or succeed because you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. That is a sweet spot you want to be in. You will find out it's not about what I have or what kind of bag I wear or it's the Chanel that I would spray myself with. It's going to be about, Lord, I'm going to do your work. I'm going to do your work. Look at the pattern of people when you're choosing a mate. Learn your pattern instead of their potential. Well, he's got a potential of being a godly man. Yeah, but he's got a porn addiction. Look at his pattern. You think just because you'll see a potential in somebody, you're going to change them? They can't even change themselves. Only God can. Huh? How many of you have put the blinders on purpose? Should I go on? No? Deanna says, stay away. Huh? I mean, look at the way he spends. There's a pattern. I know you see all kinds of potential, but there's a pattern of him spending. You have the potential of being broke when you're married to him then. Amen?
Amen?
And you want to see the way he'll treat you later on after a couple of years. Look at the way he treats his mom. That's what Pastor told me to Tim. People are watching you. Not when you're out in the pulpit or when you're in the, you know, your little world teen challenge, but they're watching you in your home and how you treat your mom. and how you treat your wife. And I got to tell you, I fell way short. I see my failures every single day with my wife. I love her. But God's in the process. And I hate hearing stories about perfect marriages, you know, because it kind of shows me that I don't have one. Huh? I don't. My wife works 18 hours a day doing ministry in human trafficking, and she's in the ministry, and she has four sites like this, you know, all throughout the week. She has 17 Bible study, and she's got a ministry called Northeast of the Well. It's about the Samaritan woman, and she went back and to tell the townspeople. She was the first evangelist. Did you know that? She was, before any disciples went out and started evangelizing. Many came to the Lord because of her testimony. The Samaritan woman, the one that fell short, when she got a hold of Jesus, her whole life changed. So she works with people and their brokenness and bringing up to the leadership, and that's where the jail to Jerusalem, that plan comes from, and we do a trip to empower and enrich people. And I want to tell you, you have an identity. You have a calling in this church. Look around you. Prime pickings. I love this church. I see people like me here. Huh? I see people like me. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you, God's telling you, pick up the pieces and strike it today. And you might have stopped on your journey. Something might have happened. You might have been a little disaster. You might have been a little trouble at home front. And God's telling you, don't look at the situation. Don't look at the situation. Look at me. I am the author and the perfecter of your faith. If Jesus took a whole bunch of teenagers, and that's what they are, except for Peter was 20 years old. Every single one of them was a teenager. Did you know that? Yeah, that's how they do it still today. Only one paid taxes when they were going into the temple, and that was Peter. Oh, and Jesus. Everybody else was underage. That's how Jesus picked his disciples. And if he took broken, uneducated kids and made them a game changer, he'll do it with you. He'll do it with you. He's blessed you. He's deposited richly in you. And you got caught up, and I understand that. But if you feel that God is tugging at you right now, say, pick up those arrows of victory and strike it. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. As the leadership come on up, Pastor Chris, would you come on up? And I want to just invite you guys to come on up and get prayed for. We're not praying as better than you or pastors over lay people. We're partnering with you. Our family is not perfect. Our life is not perfect. But if we don't have each other to pray with and to share our burden with, how are we going to be the light to the community that is dying? We're not this all together, put together well people. We're the broken people that needs Jesus. Amen. Amen. So come on up. We want to pray with you. Dear Father.